When my daughter Corinne was a couple of years old, for those who don't know, she's 24 years old now. When she was still just a toddler, old enough to roam around the house for just a bit without supervision, she toddled into the living room, saw some beautiful and special things up on a shelf hanging on the wall, climbed up on the sofa, reached up and pulled the whole shelf down. Everything crashed to the floor, an antique plate, antique cups and saucers, treasures handed down from great grandparents, things that were wedding gifts, all of it. Everything smashed to bits, beyond repair, total loss. And of course, while we were sad and maybe even upset, we were not upset with Corinne. We were not angry at her. We did not punish her. She was a tiny child. She had no idea that the pretty things on the shelf were breakable and that she shouldn't touch them, much less that the shelf would come right off the wall. The reality is she broke the things because she simply did not understand what she was doing or what might happen. And this, I believe, is a message of Ash Wednesday for us today. God sees us in exactly the same way that we saw our precious child when all those treasured and beautiful things were smashed to bits. When we break the world, when we destroy the goodness of God's creation, when we fail to live into the image of God which we were created in, when we break even our own selves, when we smash all the things, I believe God sees us like a tiny child who simply doesn't understand what they're doing. Now, I fully know that not every Christian, not every pastor, not every theologian agrees with me. In fact, I know that some would categorically reject this understanding and say something nearly opposite. Indeed, it seems the dominant theological tradition in the Western world for the last 250 plus years would say something more like this: because of our brokenness, God sees us as completely worthless, totally abhorrent, nasty, unbearable, intolerable, disgusting, offensive, unholy. Do you remember that famous sermon by the theologian Jonathan Edwards, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God? It was written in the 1740s. It was a catalyst for the First Great Awakening, but a lot of people know it because, like for me, it was required reading in high school junior year English class. It was printed in the literature book. And that famous sermon says that God is so angry at us, so sickened, revolted, sickened by us, that God would rather burn us in a fire like a creepy spider than be associated with us. Now, for those who see God this way, grace, the definition of grace, is that God saves us despite hating us. God saves us despite how abhorrent and disgusting and awful we are to God. According to this understanding, it's almost like the more horrible we are in God's eyes, the bigger and more amazing and more powerful and more gratuitous God's love for us is. It's like the center of the message of good news is, can you believe God loves you and sent Jesus to save you when you're so unbelievably horrible? Now, I know that some of you may have come from a religious background that takes that view. Maybe that's even why you ended up in this community of faith where we usually talk about it in a different way. Others may have never been a part of a community of faith that talked that way. You might find that view of God shocking, but I assure you I'm not exaggerating. But the point, no matter how much or how little exposure you've had to that way of seeing things, the point is that I want to assure you, I want to make 100% clear, that's not what I believe. That's not what I believe the Bible teaches. Can you find Bible verses that support that understanding of who God is and how God is? Of course you can. But is that the majority opinion of the Bible? More importantly, is that what Jesus teaches? No way. Not at all. I refuse to believe that. The longer I'm at this, preaching the good news, this calling, the more I reflect on it, the more I'm convinced that Jesus teaches that God sees us not as something horrible to be pitied, needing to be saved from disgusting, offensive, sinful worthlessness, but rather, instead, God sees us as beloved, beautiful, precious children. Wondrous, adored, treasured, valued, cherished, and dearly loved children who are, yes, broken, flawed, imperfect, to use the church word, sinful, who, yes, do not understand how things are and how they should be, who literally do not know what we're doing. Jesus himself hanging on the cross, having been falsely accused, wrongly convicted, and tortured with thorns and whips and ropes and nails, Jesus himself dying, having suffered unspeakable agony, said, "Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing." Just like little toddler Corinne pulling that shelf full of treasures off the wall, in Jesus' eyes, even having done the most imaginable evil directly to him, he said, "Forgive them, they don't know what they're doing." Of course, Jesus still calls us to repent. That means turn around, turn away from our brokenness, turn away from sin. Jesus still calls us to change our hearts and lives. Absolutely. But that's because God wants us to learn, to grow, to become that which God has made us to be and desires us to be. Because God wants to instruct us and lead us and transform us. In the same way that afterwards we taught Corinne not to pull shelves off the walls, explain that things can break, that you have to be careful, not because she was a bad person who needed to be corrected, but because she was a child who had things to learn, whom we loved and whom we wanted to grow and thrive. It's the same with God. How can it be otherwise? God is love. God is completely love. Wants only the best for us. Who doesn't hate us, isn't disgusted by us, does not have to sort out. I do not believe this. God does not have to sort out within God's own mind whether to burn us in hell or save us from hell. Friends, God is love. That is the good news. I don't think that's part of the good news or the beginning of the good news or the foundation for the good news. It is the good news. God is love. In God, there's no hatred at all. In God, there's no violence at all. In God, there's no desire to punish, torture, destroy, or kill at all. This is the good news. I really believe it is. Which brings me finally back to Ash Wednesday. I think I might be breaking my own record for a sermon with the longest introduction and the shortest main point. So here's the main point. When those ashes are placed on our foreheads, when that cross is marked on your head and you hear these words, "Remember that you are dust and to dust you shall return." I do not want you to hear anything at all like, "You deserve to die." I do not want you to hear, "You are dirt, you are worthless, you are nothing." That is not what those words mean. I want you to hear something more like this: "You are a beloved lost child who doesn't know enough to stay out of trouble. You are a frail human formed from dust, and nothing made out of dust can last forever. But you are also made out of something more than dust. You're also filled with God's breath, God's spirit. You are dust whom God formed into a living soul, a living being, and God will not let death be the last word. When you hear those words, my friends, remember you are dust. I want Paul's words that Deacon Katie read from 2 Corinthians to be ringing in your ears. I want you to hear the part where Paul was saying to you, not just about himself, but to you. The world might think the words "you are dust" mean you are an imposter, a fake. You are an unknown, a nobody. You are dead, worthy only of punishment, sorrow, poverty, having no worth. He says, I'm a servant of God who's endured much. He goes on and on about what he's endured. Who's endured much to bring this message to you. And I tell you, it is wrong. You are not a fake. You are truth. You are not a nobody. You are known to God. You are not dead. By the power of God's Spirit, you're alive. You will have resurrection. You will be filled with rejoicing. You will be rich with every gift of God. You will possess abundantly all the things that matter. Every single thing that matters. Friends in Christ, on this day as we begin the Lenten journey, this journey of reflection and repentance, which leads us with Jesus through the wilderness, through the trials, to the cross, into the tomb, and out on the other side into new life. As we begin this Lenten journey, I want you to hear again the good news. You, each and every one of you, you are a beloved child of God. Lost, yep. Broken, yes. Made from dust that will return to dust, of course. I mean, really, you have no idea what you're doing. But you are filled with the breath of God. You are beloved, beautiful, precious, wondrous, adored, treasured, valued, cherished, dearly loved. God loves you. That's why God will never stop leading you and guiding you and teaching you and calling you and inviting you, cajoling you to turn towards a new way, God's way, Jesus' way, the way of love and only love. Amen.